Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Well, we're in a very complex section of Canto 10, Chapter 37, Text 22. Complex in the sense that the verse is packed up with important understandings, and for that reason there's abundant commentary by Jiva Goswami on this verse or related to this verse. So I'm going to read the translation of 10:37:22, and then we'll carry on. This is Narada speaking to Krishna in Vrindavan. Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things, and by the power of your spiritual energy, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion. A lot has been about his spiritual energy or Svarup Shakti, with different terminologies, what are they, and how they interact with one another, and how they fulfill purposes of Krishna. One of the purposes being the qualities of illusion are aloof from him by that power, spiritual power, but the qualities of illusion are his qualities. And they're not affecting him, although they're his qualities, that's his potencies. Maya Shakti is his potency. So, we've been hearing a lot about the nature of the personality of Godhead. Now, the context of this verse is Narada, in service to Krishna, wants to facilitate Krishna moving on from his Braja Leela to outside of Braja. He says to Krishna, by your mercy, I know who you are. By your mercy, I know the sequence of your pastimes. And I long to see the day when you'll do this and that and the other thing. And one of the things that he wants to see him do is, you have many devotees who are very dependent upon you, and they're feeling fear. They're feeling fear of Kamsa. So please go and deliver them from fear, because where you are, there's no fear. And because fear is an illusion. Fear is absorption in the illusory energy, and by your presence that will be gone, and your devotees will be fearless. So then, you know, let us approach you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelters, because his shelter means he and those who are outside of Braja will be protected. And Krishna is the protector. So, he does through his potencies. So now we're going to go to Bhagavat Sandarbha, Anuchet 25. And it reads as follows. that the transcendental form of the personality of Godhead is full of all spiritual attributes and opulences is confirmed by the following statement of Bhagavatam 10.87.38. Chapter 87 is prayers by the personified Vedas, so text 38 is the personified Vedas addressing Krishna. 10.87.38. This is Jiva Goswami's rendering of that verse, and then after that I have the BBT translation. Oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead! When there is cosmic manifestation, the jivatma, or individual soul, appears in the creation in different forms according to his previous fruitive activities, and due to his long forgetfulness of real existence, he identifies himself with a particular form, awarded to him by the laws of material nature. Assuming a material form, he becomes subjected to the three material modes of nature and acts accordingly to continue his existence in the material world. While enwrapped in such ignorance, his natural opulences, although existing in minute quantity, are almost extinct. Your opulences, however, are not diminished, although you appear within this material world. The conditioned soul becomes entrapped in the material world, whereas you leave it without affection, just as a snake sheds his skin. The distinction between you and the conditioned living individual soul is that you maintain your natural opulences known as Shad Aishwarya, the six opulences of Bhagavan. Ashta Siddhi, the eight siddhis or mystic powers, and Ashta Guna. So we're going to hear commentary by Jiva Goswami about the transcendental nature of Bhagavan who has all these things. Here's the BBT translation. This is not Prabhupada's, it's followers of Prabhupada. The illusory material nature, same verse, text 38 of chapter 87. The illusory material nature attracts the minute living entity to embrace her, and as a result, he assumes forms composed of her qualities. Subsequently, he loses all his spiritual qualities and must undergo repeated deaths. You, however, avoid the material energy in the same way that a snake abandons its old skin. Glorious in your possession of eight mystic perfections, you enjoy unlimited opulences. So Jiva Goswami, after referring to that verse, text 38, he writes several series of questions. Someone may ask, O Lord, how is it that you remain aloof from the material energy of Maya? Answer. In order to answer this question, the personified Vedas say, here eva tva cham. Or, O Lord, just as a snake sheds its skin in the same way you shed all contact with the illusory potency Maya. This means, quote, you never fall into the illusion of identifying with a material body constructed of the three modes of material nature, unquote. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of limitless transcendental bliss and knowledge, he remains always aloof from the inferior material energy, which is quite similar to what Narada is saying to Krishna. Next, someone may ask, how is it that the personality of Godhead remains full of all transcendental opulences? To answer this question, the personified Vedas say, Atta Bhagaha. O Lord, you are full of spiritual opulences. It's his nature. He doesn't lose his nature. Now, someone may ask, oh, how is it that the Supreme Lord's opulences are so extraordinary? To answer this question, the personified Vedas say, Aparimeya Bhagaha. O Lord, your opulences are unlimited. Neither time nor space impose restrictions on your opulences. The limitless opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also described in the following verse, same chapter, 87, text 14, where the personified Vedas say to the Supreme Lord, O Lord, you are the master of all opulences. The example of the snake shedding its skin may be explained in the following way. A snake sheds its skin when the skin becomes too old. The snake will not go at all near the rejected skin, but avoids it completely. In the same way, the personality of Godhead would not even come near the material energy Maya, but completely rejects it. Which sounds a lot like Vyasadeva's vision, which was the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yayasa mohita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. The material energy is behind the personality of Godhead. Which he saw in samadhi. Apashat purusham purnam mayam cha tad aparshayam. That's the verse. Mayam cha tad aparshayam. Behind the Supreme Lord under his full control. So he doesn't touch, he just keeps Maya at a distance. O Lord, this is now, here we go. The Lord's transcendental opulences are also described in the following statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, our verse, 10:37-22, where Lord Krishna is addressed in the following words, O Lord, you are full of supremely pure transcendental knowledge. All your desires are automatically fulfilled, and none of your desires can ever be thwarted. But the transcendental nature of his potencies and his opulences and everything about him. In the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Uddhava Gita, the personality of Godhead describes his opulences to Uddhava, where he says, the master of the yoga system, the masters of the yoga system have declared that there are 18 types of mystic perfection and meditation, of which 8 are primary, having their shelter in me, and 10 are secondary, appearing from the material mode of goodness. Then he's going to explain that one. So that's 11:15, 3 through 5. Continuing with the translation. Among the 8 primary mystic perfections, those 3 by which one adjusts one's own body are anima, becoming smaller than the smallest, mahima, becoming greater than the greatest, and laghima, becoming lighter than the lightest. So that's 3 out of the 8 that deals with how one adjusts one's body. Through the perfection of prapti, so that's number 4 out of the 8, one acquires whatever one desires. And through prakamya, siddhi, one experiences an enjoyable object either in this world or the next. Through ishita, said he, one can manipulate the subpotencies of Maya. And through the controlling potency called Vashishta, said he, one is unimpeded by the three modes of material nature. One who has acquired Kama Vyasita, said he, can obtain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit, my dear gentle Uddhava. These eight mystic perfections are considered to be naturally existing and unexcelled within this world. The potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead included the material potency Maya. Maya is described in the following verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad speaking to his classmates. Translation, the Personality of Godhead is simply perceived as the Supreme Satchit Ananda, Eternity, Knowledge, and Bliss, being covered by the curtain of the external. Paraswami discusses this verse.
In a conditioned state, the unborn eternal spirit soul becomes the follower and servant of the material energy. When liberated from illusion, the spirit soul abandons the attempt to
enjoy by material energy. How may the Supreme be described? He is the possessor of all knowledge.
Statement of Vedic literature. Srutish Vatara Upanishad says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all transcendental qualities and potencies. From Vishnu Purana, the transcendental potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are beyond the perception or description of the conditioned souls. Bhagavat
means in relation to Bhagavan. And Bhagavan includes all these things, opulences, Sad Aishwarya, and Sarva Shaktis, and his mystic powers. So, the full picture of Bhagavan is with his potencies, not just without his potencies, because that's incomplete. Continuing in Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adochade 55, Jiva Goswami writes, the forms of the plenary expansions of Lord Krishna are also spiritual and transcendental. This is confirmed. Shukadeva Goswami, Bhagavatam 10:13:54. 13 is after it's the wrap-up of the Brahma Vimohan Leela, and Shukadeva Goswami is commenting upon what Brahma saw, where he writes, or Shukadeva Goswami says, the Vishnu Murtis all had eternal unlimited forms full of knowledge and bliss and existing beyond the influence of time. Their great glory was not even to be touched by the jnanis engaged in study of the Upanishads. Study of the Upanishads doesn't give access to the Lord's form. Sridhar Swami comments, in this verse, the forms of the plenary expansions of Lord Krishna are described as being identical in their transcendental features. The word eka rasaha here may be interpreted to mean either always the same, or always eternal, satya, full of knowledge, jnana, and unlimited, ananta, and full of bliss, ananda, unquote. The glory of these transcendental forms was not even to be touched. Aprishtaburi mahatmyaha, by the jnanis engaged in the study of the Upanishads. In this verse, so this verse is referring to Shukadeva Goswami's comment about what Brahma saw. In this verse, the word matra, M-A-T-R-A, should be interpreted to mean the various Vishnu expansion described in this verse had the same external features and the same internal identity, for they were all Lord Vishnu. This word, matra, should not be interpreted to mean that the various expansions were actually the impersonal featureless Brahman. Such a labored and inappropriate interpretation clearly contradicts the statements of Shukadeva Goswami in the Bhagavatam and Sridhar Swami in his commentary on the Bhagavatam. This impersonal interpretation is also refuted in the fourth line of this stanza, which states, quote, "The great glory of these transcendental forms was not even to be touched by the impersonal jnanis engaged in study of the Upanishads," unquote. Shukadeva Goswami refutes this impersonal interpretation by describing the transcendental reality of the Supreme Lord's form in the following words. Now this is Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 38, where Bhagavatam says, "The sages headed by Shanakarishi saw that the personality of Godhead Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their hearts in ecstatic trance, had now actually become visible to their eyes. As he came forward accompanied by his own associates, bearing all paraphernalia such as an umbrella and chamara fan, the white bunches of hair moved very gently like two swans, and due to their favorable breeze, the pearls garlanding the umbrella also moved, like drops of nectar falling from the white full moon, or ice melting due to gusts of wind." Very beautiful. The impersonal interpretation of the word matram in this verse, 10.13.54, referred to above, cannot be accepted, impersonal interpretation, because Srila Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, was not an impersonalist, but a great devotee of the Lord. That Shukadeva Goswami was not an impersonalist, and that Srimad Bhagavatam does not represent the impersonalist view, is confirmed by the following statement. In 12th Canto, Chapter 12, Text 69, reads, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman, realization, and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke the supreme Purana, known as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the absolute truth, and which describes the activities of Lord Krishna." Commentary continues that the form of the Supreme Personality Godhead, the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are spiritual, eternal, and full of bliss and knowledge, and not simply illusory representations of an impersonal reality, is also confirmed by the following statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's our verse, 10:37:22, which says, the form of the Supreme Lord is full of supremely pure transcendental knowledge. Or chapter 27 of Canto 10, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is full of the purest knowledge. And then again, chapter 14 of Canto 10, O Lord, your transcendental form is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. That's Brahma's prayers. These statements of the Bhagavatam should be taken literally. No one should try to change their obvious meaning by word jugglery and try to make them mean something other than what they clearly say. So there. That the form of the Personality of Godhead is full of all transcendental bliss is also confirmed. There's more statements. Chapter 41 of Canto 10. When the ladies of Mathura saw the blissful form of Krishna and Balaram with their eyes, they took them within their hearts and began to embrace them to their fullest desire. Or chapter 48. By smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, Kubja immediately became relieved of all lusty desires. She was thus allowed to embrace Krishna, whose transcendental form is full of bliss. She was allowed to embrace Krishna with her two arms, and thus mitigate her long-cherished desire to have Krishna as a visitor in her house. And we're almost done. That the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of knowledge and bliss is also confirmed, if you weren't convinced already, by the Mahavaraha Purana, which says, the transcendental forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are eternal and imperishable. They were not created at a certain point, and they are never to be destroyed. They are not products of the material energy. Conclusion. All the forms of the Supreme Personality Godhead are completely filled with transcendental bliss, knowledge, and all auspicious qualities. These spiritual forms of the Lord are free from all material defects. I mean, in one sense, it only takes one such statement or a collection, but, you know, he's got his opponent on the ground and the count is counting 10. And he's victorious. So, there's the force or powerful gesture of refuting impersonal conception. And there's establishing of the personal conception. It's Bhagavat Sandarbha. So Bhagavan is a person who has bhagas. He has opulences. And there's different categories. We commonly hear the six. But there's other opulences. And someone may have some of those opulences, but not in full. Bhagavan has them in full. Like these mystic powers. And, you know, it's on the basis of someone, I'm not so familiar with it other than hearing from Prabhupada that, you know, some person sees somebody exhibiting mystic power, and that means they're God. And whether the mystic wants to be God, or allow people to consider himself God, or whatever their own psychology is, having a little material opulence or having a little, you know, little meaning in proportion to the personality of Godhead, unlimited potency. Unlimited potency. Just hearing Prabhupada say, if Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill, it's not at all astounding. He knows how to make things weightless. There's a science where the scientists can fly big, heavy metal thing in the air or in space, and they know how to do it. So they have some knowledge to make something weightless or like weightless. If they do, why Krishna can't? He's floating planets. So why he can't lift it over downhill and make it weightless? But, you know, so if someone performs some mystic power and becomes very light, or makes something very light, or makes something levitate, he's God. Or any of the other, so it's a misunderstanding of what Bhagavan and his fullness of opulence is, because those are borrowed powers from the Yogeshwara. A mystic yogi may achieve some of those. And, you know, and it's wonderful. Or it's beyond, normal. So it's, you know, that sense it's wonderful. But all it is manipulation of, Prabhupada explained this, manipulation of subtle laws, of material laws. Now there's spiritual, powers. Even demons have capacity for material powers, material mystic powers. Ravana, this and that and the other. The demons that visited Vrindavan to kill Krishna, they had mystic powers. Trinavarti being able to fly in the air, and so many mystic powers. But what's their mystic power compared to Krishna's Yogeshwara? Finished. Insignificant. So that mystic power that they have is then taken from them. When their mystic power was defeated, then by Krishna, then they lost the shape-changing capacity. They lost the ability to fly. They lost this and that. So, you know, in other words, it's borrowed and it's temporary. Limited and temporary. But Krishna is not in that, Bhagavan is not in that position. Neither limited nor temporary. Arises from him. His knowledge potency, his bliss potency, his existential potency. They're never influenced by or covered by Maya. That's what we're hearing. A little lesson in Bhagavat Tattva. See if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I have two questions, I think both from analytical, logical side of
the game.
Kindly forgive me if they sound speculative. In this analogy of the snake shedding the skin, before shedding the skin is actually attached to the snake, which is not the case with the Lord. Is that the limitation of the analogy?
It's both. That is to say, even when the skin is covering the snake, then when the snake sheds the skin, is detached, there's Krishna's being in this world. He's not attached. And then when things change in this world, he's not attached. It's both. It's a metaphor. So there's limitations in metaphors, but the point is the detachment from. So even when the skin is covering the snake, the snake is identifying with the skin. When it sheds the snake, he's not. And Krishna's never covered by anything, and he's never attached to anything of the illusory realm. He is attached to his devotees. Okay.
The second question is, Maharaj, in our main verse translation, Narada Muni is requesting the Lord to go remove the fear of his devotees. As you were mentioning, this fear is the absorption in illusory energy.
Mm.
I was thinking these devotees who have got direct association of the Lord, they're not covered like us and they don't have absorption in the illusory energy. They're always in the thoughts of the Lord. How come they have fear?
Well, one way to answer that is, their fear is not the same as ours. When Krishna, here's an example. When Krishna entered into the coils of the Kaliya serpent, the residents of Vrindavan were feeling fear for his safety. Or when demons were being sent to Vrindavan, the elders were feeling fear for the safety of Krishna. So, the degree of using the word that our acharyas use, possessiveness of the resident of Vrindavan, that's their feature, mamata. Krishna is ours, possessiveness. It's less outside of Vrindavan. And, you know, further and further and further as one goes away from that epicenter. So their feelings of fear are not the same as the fear of the resident of Vrindavan. It's a fear that says, we want Krishna's protection. So there's no other shelter for them than Krishna, but they want Krishna's protection. So it's a transcendental fear, not the same as an ordinary person's absorption in the temporary fear. And Krishna comes to relieve them of that.
Helps, Guru Maharaj. I was thinking, remembering Prahlad Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj is
fearless.
They're like fearless. So it's really about the mood of the devotee for deeper shelter.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Very good. Very good. Good way to say it concisely. Something?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the beginning, I think we said, the Ashtasiddhis and the six opulences. There are Ashtagunas also. I mean, is that going to come tomorrow? Or?
It's not in the same Anuchade. So whether it'll come tomorrow, I haven't looked ahead yet. I can search.
What are those gunas?
I don't know. It's a reference I'm unfamiliar with.
Another question from yesterday evening class, the glories of Bhagavatam, talked about a lot of other Puranas and scriptures. So is it the, we understand that Vyasadeva has written at the full maturity after compiling all the other Puranas.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the earlier version itself is so glorious?
Is it what?
The earlier version of Bhagavatam that Vyasadeva has written before.
Yeah.
Writing, is that it's talking about all the Puranas, that itself is very glorious, or?
Well, it's the second edition, not the first. Is that clear? The first is the essence, which we understand to be the Chaturshloki, but it wasn't in full. So the second edition is 18,000 verses. So it's referring to the 18,000 verses, the second edition. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I think this, I was trying to understand those are written before, right?
So which are
the other
before?
Puranas?
Yes. Yes.
So it talks about Bhagavad Purana.
Yes. Oh, now I understand your question. That's a tricky question. Well, it speaks, one of the ones that we read, it speaks of the Bhagavatam consisting of 18,000 verses. And it speaks of the Bhagavatam as describing the story of Ritrasura. So, the logic would imply, so this is just reasoning and logic, not something authoritative. Logic would imply those texts that speak those things came either A or B. It came after the second edition. There was maybe an editing in the other Puranas that said those things. Or Vyasa was Trikalagya, and that's another possible explanation, but I don't have anything authoritative on. It's an interesting question. I'll ask one of our pundits who usually has answers to these things. Good question. Very, very tricky question. Logical. I don't have the answer.
This question is from Sucharita Mataji. The limited siddhis or mystic powers possessed by demons or normal beings, are they due to their good karma?
Not necessarily. They're due to tapping into the procedures for mystic power, which includes in many cases severe austerities, etc. Like, would we say that Ravana had, you know, good karma, and that's how he had mystic powers? He just, you know, knew he followed certain procedures to get mystic powers, and he was they were given to him, not necessarily because of good karma. That's it? Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Kate?